Let's take a moment and let's prepare our hearts for receiving and hearing and obeying God's word. Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin will destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of God. So it's become a bit of a tradition on Kids Camp Sunday for in our sermon to share with you the things that we were learning about in Kids Camp. And so that's what we're going to do with the rest of our time this morning. The Bible has actually many different ways that it teaches us about God, and it has many different ways that it teaches us the gospel. And those are not to contradict one another. Those are meant to give us a fuller and a deeper picture of what it is that God does for us in the work of Jesus. And one of the themes that you can trace throughout Scripture is treasure. Treasure. This past week at Kids Camp, our theme was seeking God's treasure, and we spent the week with our kids talking about treasure. The verses that we just read from Matthew 6 were our primary verses for the whole week. That's sort of the one big message that we wanted to get through. It's a word to us from God that's all about the different kinds of treasure that we have available to us in the world, and it's a word about what kind of treasure our hearts should want to seek after the most. During Kids Camp, we also followed a familiar pattern. We had 4 days of Kids Camp, and the pattern that we followed was creation, fall, and redemption and consummation. If you've been here with us for very long, you've probably heard that pattern. That's a pattern we talk about quite a bit. It's the way that the Bible as a whole presents to us the one unified story, right? The one unified story of creation, fall, redemption, and finally consummation. So if you want to put those two things together, if you want to put treasure, seeking God's treasure, and put that together with creation, fall, and redemption and consummation, you'll have a very good outline for where we're going to go this morning. So starting out on day one, we learned about creation. And there's really two things that we focus on. The first thing is to recognize and believe that God is our creator. God is the one who created everything in the world, including us, and God created all things good. The goodness of creation is one of those foundational biblical truths that should shape the Christian life. It should shape the way that we look at the world around us and the things that we have in our lives. We should recognize how wonderfully the world is made, how wonderfully we are made. It should cause us to praise God for that. It should cause us to come and have praise and worship in our hearts for God, our creator and sustainer. The second thing that we learned about creation was to recognize that not only has God created the world, but he has filled his world with treasure, with all kinds of treasure. And he's created us to be treasure seekers. He's created us with hearts that seek out the treasure that God has filled his world with. So if you look back at Matthew 6, we started by learning that there are really two kinds of treasure, right? Our text says not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth, we could call those earthly treasures, but instead to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So those are heavenly treasures. Okay, so who created the world and who filled it with treasure? God. And what are the two kinds of treasures? Earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. Good. So what are earthly treasures and heavenly treasures? Well, earthly treasures are all of those good things that God has created and filled the world with, all of the good things that we have in our lives. And of course, there's so many of them that you can't count them all, right? If we tried to sit and count all of our earthly treasures, we'd be here for the rest of the day and the next day and all week. Right? Earthly treasures are the good things that God has created and filled the world with. You could be very literal with that, right? And you could say, what are some earthly treasures? Well, maybe things like gold and silver and diamonds and jewels. Those certainly are earthly treasures, right? Those are treasures that we have. You could go a little bit deeper than that, and you could think of things like money or wealth, right? Our money, our wealth that we have is certainly an earthly treasure given to us by God. The Bible teaches us that we need to be careful about our money, right? But it doesn't teach us that money in and of itself is evil, that wealth is evil. Those are good things, right? That's a tremendous earthly treasure that God gives to us. Something that resonates really well with kids, you can think of earthly treasure as all of those things connected to our enjoyment and our leisure, right? For kids, maybe that's toys, or for grown-ups, toys, video games, sports, fun trips that we get to go on, maybe even coming to kids' camp, that could be an earthly treasure. I was told this week that I am an earthly treasure. And I said, finally, everyone's going to know what a treasure I am. And of course, kids are not the only ones who have those kinds of earthly treasures, right, connected to our enjoyment and our leisure. I imagine that if you go to any craft store or any sporting goods store on the weekends, you're going to find plenty of adults who are engaged in many things related to earthly treasures. Go and check out a pickleball court or a golf course, or go and check out one of the local state parks, and you're going to see whole families, right, adults included, enjoying the many earthly treasures that God gives us in this world, and those are good. There are also earthly treasures that are a little bit more subtle. Maybe things like friendship. Friendship is an earthly treasure. Or our earthly families. What a wonderful treasure and blessing we have in our earthly families. Maybe our health, right? Good health is a wonderful earthly treasure. The reality is that God has blessed us with so many wonderful things. So many good things. So many earthly treasures for our hearts to seek out and to find and have joy in, right? And those things in and of themselves, they're not bad, though they're good, right? They can be very good. So that's earthly treasures. So what about heavenly treasures? Well, just as with earthly treasures, there's actually so many heavenly treasures that it's hard to count them all. As I was getting ready for kids' camp, I was reading an article by a theologian I've come to really love. And in his article, he lifted out 50 different heavenly treasures that the Bible tells us about. And he said, and that's the short list, right? That's just the short list. There are many more that Scripture tells us about or that we can identify sort of by implication. But the unifying truth about heavenly treasures, what defines them, is that they are special treasures that God gives to his people. And they're not created to be part of the created world. They're given directly to our hearts from God. They are spiritual treasures. They are quite literally spiritual treasures that come from the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. They're things like love and faith, love for God, faith in Christ, the fruits of the Spirit, right? The spiritual community that we have with one another, our union with God, our union with Christ, and all of the heavenly blessings and benefits that come from a life lived in union and fellowship with God. Those are all heavenly treasures. And as we learned about at kids' camp, all of those treasures have God as their number one source and their number one focus. God is the source of all good things in this world, in this life, but he is especially the source of heavenly treasures. We can summarize that by saying that our number one heavenly treasure, who is also responsible for all of the others, is God himself. And of course, Matthew 6 has more to say about treasure. It's not just telling us what the treasures are, but it's giving us both a warning and a calling. Look back at it. The warning is to not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but instead to store up for yourself treasures in heaven. This language of storing up, that's good language. It's language that's about acquisition. What do you want to get, right? What are the things that you are seeking and trying to get as much of as possible? It's also language about value and love, right? We don't store up things that are worthless. We shouldn't store up things that are worthless, right? If you want to come check out my basement, probably going to see some things there that I've stored up that are a little bit worthless, but we shouldn't do that, right? We store up things that are valuable to us. We hold on to them. What are our most treasured possessions? And notice that our text in Matthew 6, it doesn't say that earthly treasures are bad. It doesn't say that they're evil, right? Instead, it's asking us about what's going on in our hearts. How does your heart relate to the treasures that you have before you? This is a really special topic for me. It's one of the reasons why I chose this to be our kids camp theme this year. Some of you know that my background is in apologetics. Maybe you joined us for the apologetics class, Sunday school class, or maybe you check that out online. One of the kinds of apologetics that we talk about is called existential apologetics. And that's a little bit of a complicated word, but really it's just getting at something that was intimately the foundation of our kids camp this week. It's the fact that God has made our hearts in a very certain way. He has made our hearts to need certain things. And we're not going to have true joy deep, deep down in our hearts. We're not going to have true happiness and true contentment until we find those things that God has made our hearts to need. And what are they? They're not earthly treasures. They're heavenly treasures, right? They are the spiritual gifts that come from God. One of my favorite Christian thinkers who talks about this a lot, his name was Pascal. Maybe you've heard a version of something that he wrote. It's become pretty popular. Have you heard of the God-shaped hole in the heart? Sometimes Christians talk about the God-shaped hole that we have in our hearts. It's a way of describing the fact that the human heart is created such that until it has God, it's not going to be complete, right? And so you can imagine it having a God-shaped hole. That's not wrong. That's pretty close, actually, to what Pascal says. Except what he says is actually more profound than that. It's a little bit deeper. According to Pascal, the human heart doesn't have a God-shaped hole. The human heart is a hole. It is an infinite abyss. That's what he calls it, an infinite abyss. It's a void. It's a chasm, right? And because God has made us to be treasure seekers, we take the treasure we find and we try to fill up our hearts with it. And because of who we are, we usually go for earthly treasures. We take all of those earthly treasures and we try to fill up our hearts. But the thing about that is that our hearts are an infinite abyss. Nothing can fill them up. Nothing can satisfy them. Nothing can offer them true satisfaction and true contentment. Nothing except for God. Why? Because an infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite object, right? By God himself. That's what Augustine means when he says that our hearts are restless. They're restless and they struggle until they find their rest in God. That's how we were created. That's the kind of treasure seekers we are. We are created with hearts that need a very specific kind of treasure. And so don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, earthly treasures. Matthew 6 says, number one, because they just don't last, right? Moths and vermin will get in and destroy them, or thieves will come along and steal them. And what happens in our hearts when we take all of our love and all of our hope and we place those in the earthly treasures that we have? What happens when those earthly treasures are taken away from us? Our hearts are destroyed, right? It takes away our joy. Also, do not store up for yourself earthly treasures, because you should recognize that God has created our hearts to need him as our number one treasure and to need the heavenly treasures that can only come from God. That is the way to true satisfaction. That is the way to true joy. And where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So family, do you recognize the wonderful and good earthly treasures that God has provided for you? Are we thankful for those? We should. We should wake up every morning and be so thankful for the earthly treasures that we have. Do you see all of the good things that you have in life as treasures from God? Not things that you earned and acquired all by yourself, but as blessings from God. And do you find within your heart that seeking and that searching nature, right? Do you recognize that you have a need for God as your number one treasure in your heart? Because that's how you were made. Maybe some of you this morning are struggling with that. Some of us struggle with contentment in life, never feeling content, never feeling fulfilled, never feeling like we've found that kind of joy that we know that we need deep, deep down inside. The call from Matthew 6 is to seek out heavenly treasures, not earthly treasures. Let those be your heart's desire. So that's the first day of kids camp with creation. Who is it that created all things good and filled his world with treasure? God. And what are the two kinds of treasure that he made? Earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. And what's the number one heavenly treasure? God himself. But the reality is that the good world did not stay good, right? And the fall has serious consequences for our heart. It has serious consequences for how our heart relates to the treasure that we seek. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, right? What did Adam and Eve do? Well, they took their hearts off of God and they placed them on something that God created as an earthly treasure, something that in their case was forbidden, right? They took their hearts off of God and they placed it on the fruit instead. They sinned against God. They turned away from him and they broke the world. The world was filled with sinfulness and evil. And their hearts were filled with sinfulness and evil and brokenness. And it is that brokenness, that sin, and that evil in the human heart that characterizes everyone moving forward from Genesis chapter 3. And because our hearts are broken, because they're filled with sin and evil, we have treasure problems. That's what we called them at kids' camp this week. We talked about three different kinds of problems that our hearts have with treasure. The number one is that we love earthly treasures too much. We love them too much. That's why we need a warning from Matthew 6 that reminds us not to store up earthly treasures. If we didn't have a fallen, broken, sinful tendency to love those things too much, we wouldn't have to be told and reminded and commanded not to store them up for ourselves, not to commit our hearts to the wrong thing. The second fallen treasure problem that we have is the flip side to that. We love earthly treasures too much, and we don't seek out the heavenly treasures the way that we should. We don't seek out God as our number one heavenly treasure. Again, that's why we need the warning from Matthew chapter 6. Do you see how backwards that is, right? You are created with a heart that needs heavenly treasure, and it's available for you in God. And yet, what do our sinful and broken hearts do? They don't look that way. They look at all the good earthly treasures, right? And they try to fill themselves with that. It's backwards. It's exactly backwards from the way that it should be. The third treasure problem that we have because of the sin and evil in our hearts is false treasure. False treasure. Things in this world that look good, but in reality are actually very evil. One of the results of the fall is that the world is now filled with false treasure. The Bible spends quite a bit of time warning us against the deceptive nature of sin and evil. Hebrews 3 tells us that we need daily encouragement not to be deceived by sin. 2 Corinthians tells us that even Satan himself can masquerade as an angel of light, and the servants of Satan can masquerade as servants instead of righteousness. James 1 tells us that our own hearts, our own sinful desires are deceptive, and they pull us away from the things of God. Colossians and Timothy both warn us about deceptive ideas, about deceptive beliefs that we find in the world around us, things that seem true, but in the end are false, are in opposition to God. This is what Proverbs is talking about in chapters 14 and in chapter 16 when it says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Family, these are some dire warnings about living life in a fallen and broken world with a fallen and broken heart. We don't seek the things that we were made for. We don't seek God. Too often we seek out earthly treasures, and far too often we seek out things that are evil, things that are not part of the good world, but that are just evil. Brothers and sisters, consider your hearts. What do you love? What do you love the most? Do you love earthly treasures too much? Here's a good way to tell. Matthew 6 tells us how we can tell. What happens to your heart when the moths and the vermin and the thieves come in and take away your earthly treasures? What happens when you cannot get the earthly treasures that your heart desires? And we're not talking here just about sort of a general sadness or frustration. Those are sort of normal responses, but we're talking about what's going on deep, deep down in our hearts when we do not have our earthly treasures. Do you lose your joy? Do you lose your joy? Do you lose your contentment? Does it stop you from having joy and satisfaction in life? Does it tempt you to believe that God really isn't good? Because if he was, then he would give me those treasures that I want. Are we placing our hopes and our love too much in earthly things? And brothers and sisters, what false treasures are we seeking? Right? What are those things in our lives that we think will make us happy, that our sinful hearts trick us into believing are going to give us joy and satisfaction, but in the end, they lead to death? Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's money, right? I heard at least one of our groups this week talking about money, talking about our wealth. Wealth can be, as we said, a good earthly treasure, and it can also be something that we love far too much. It can be something that we love far more than God himself. Wealth and money can also be a kind of false treasure, right? When we start believing that, yeah, it really can buy me all of the things that I need in life. Or maybe our treasure problem is with our status or our reputation. Maybe our hope and our contentment and our joy in life comes from what other people think about us, right? And if we don't have the right kind of people or enough people telling us how great we are, telling us that we are earthly treasures, then suddenly we don't have joy in our hearts. We don't have contentment in our lives. Maybe sometimes we just seek illicit false treasures. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's illicit sex. Maybe it's any of those things in this world that are not good earthly treasures, but that just are part of the evil brokenness of the world. Sometimes we look at those things and they look good and they seem good and we think that they promise to give us joy, but they're actually false treasures. O wretched people we are, who will rescue us? That brings us to day 3 of Kids Camp. The good news is that someone already has rescued us from the brokenness of the world and the brokenness and fallenness in our very hearts. Day 3 of Kids Camp was all about the gospel. It was all about redemption. Jesus has done all that's necessary to redeem us. He has done all that's necessary for the redemption of those who place their faith and place their hope and place their trust in him. On day 3, we talked about the gospel as God's word gives it to us, that Jesus, God the Son, became one of us, that he lived the perfect life for us, that he died the death on the cross that we deserve, to take the punishment that we deserve, to justify us before the Father, that he was raised from the dead for us, that he ascended into heaven for us, and that he sits at the right hand of God the Father, our eternal King and our eternal priest. And all of the benefits of what Christ has done are available to all of those who have faith in him, who have the Spirit-wrought faith, faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, uniting us to Christ, saving us, redeeming us. I said before that we have treasure problems, but the reality of our fallen state is actually much worse than that, right? It's not just that we have treasure problems, it's that we are, in fact, enemies of God. Sin and evil pull us away from God, and they make us God's enemies. But the good news of the gospel is that while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. That's the gospel. That's the good news of what Jesus has done for us. It's not only the solution to being enemies with God, it's the solution to the treasure problems that we have. One of our memory verses from a kids' camp this week was Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Treasure. It sounds backwards. It sounds wrong. But treasure is one of the ways that the Bible explains to us the nature of our salvation. Think about it. Think about how good it would be. It would be good, right? It would still be good. It would still be good news. It would still be a good word if the only thing that Jesus did for us was to stop us from being God's enemies. That would still be the most wonderful news that you could hear any day, right? To find out that you were God's enemies, but that because Jesus has redeemed you, you are no longer an enemy of God. If that were the whole of the gospel, that would still be very good news. Maybe that would put us back to some kind of, you know, neutral state with God or something, right? Where we could then go out and do good works because we're not God's enemies anymore. We could earn reward. We could earn blessing from God. That's the message of salvation that you'll hear all over the world. You'll hear it from so many different religions. You hear it from our culture, kind of cultural salvation of earning the good things and earning the rewards that you get. But family, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not the gospel, the one and only gospel. Jesus has done far more for us than merely make us no longer enemies of God. He actually makes us God's own special treasure. Did you know that? Did you know that you are God's special treasure? Our kids camp skit, we had two kids who were on a treasure hunt with their dad. They had all of this stuff, and they were just so bored. No happiness, no joy, just all these worthless toys that didn't make them happy. And they decided that what they needed to do was to go on a treasure hunt to get more stuff, right? Because that's what you do when you want to be happy. You get more stuff. And so they convinced their dad to take them on this long, arduous, terrible treasure hunt. And then we had this wonderful part of our skit where they discovered that they are actually the treasure. What? What do you mean that I am the treasure? They found out that they themselves did not have to go on a treasure hunt, right? They didn't have to drag their dad through the woods, right? God is their number one treasure, and they themselves are God's own special treasure. And we talked a bit about how the world can make you feel very small, right? The world around us can make us feel like nothing. It can make us feel like we have no meaning and no value. But the gospel message is that because of Jesus, because of the redemption that he accomplishes, he has made us to be God's own special treasure. And if our hearts are working the way they should, that should give us such a deep sense of joy that nothing can take it away, right? That no matter what the world tells you about yourself, you should not be able to lose that sense of joy at being God's own special treasure. And what's even more, these passages talk about not just the fact that we're treasure, but that God makes his people holy. He makes us holy. He sets us apart for a special use, and we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But it also means that he transforms us. Sometimes we call that sanctification, right? The Holy Spirit works in our hearts to take all of that brokenness and that evil and our sin, and he transforms it into love and faith. And love for God, and faith in Christ for our redemption, and love for one another, for our brothers and sisters in the church, and heavenly joy. The Holy Spirit, in other words, goes to our hearts, and he gives us the heavenly treasures that we so desperately need. If your heart feels empty, if you're missing joy, what you need is heavenly treasure, and where it comes from is God the Holy Spirit at work in your heart. Jesus does far more than merely stopping us from being enemies of God. As wonderful as that is, he makes us God's own special treasure, and through the sending of the Holy Spirit, he gives us the very heavenly treasures that we need. That's the message of redemption. And on day 3 of Kids Camp, we also decided, you might expect that consummation would be day 4, but we actually dealt with that also on day 3 because we had another special message that we wanted to share on day 4. When we think about our redemption, the redemption we have in Jesus, our minds should next be pulled to consummation. What is it like for God's people at the end of the world? What's it like at the end of your life? What is it like at the end of all things? That's something that we spent some time thinking about already here at Redeemer. If you were here with us for our study of the book of Revelation, you got to see a wonderful picture of this, not only of the spiritual battle that's going on right now, but a wonderful picture of what awaits for God's people. For Christians, for those who are in Christ, who have received the promised redemption in the gospel, what's in store for us? What is your eternal hope? Here's what it is. Our eternal hope is treasure. That sounds wrong. It sounds backwards to be in church and say that our eternal hope should be for treasure. But remember, treasure is one of the ways that the Bible presents to us the nature of salvation. Do you remember what the holy city of God looks like, right? Zion, the new Jerusalem that comes down from the heavens. Do you remember what it looks like? It is a world that is filled with treasure. And the Bible tells us that it has literal treasures. It uses things like gold and silver and precious jewels. But I think it's appropriate that we see those, as we talked about before, as a kind of metaphor, right? The world is going to be filled with all of those good treasures that God creates for his people. And it's even better than that. Kids Camp Kids, what is our number one treasure? God. Even better than the new heavens and the earth being filled with treasures. At Kids Camp, we talked about the fact that the Bible gives us kind of an odd description of the new heavens and the new earth. It says that they won't need a sun or a moon anymore. Why not? Because the glory of God will give light to everyone, right? What is our number one treasure? It's God. And because of Jesus, what are we? God's own special treasure. And what characterizes the reality of our eternal life that we hope for, that we long for in the new heavens and the new earth? It's a life lived in direct fellowship with, in the very presence of our number one treasure, of God himself. Brothers and sisters, is that your hope? Is that the hope that you have? Do you believe and trust that Jesus has redeemed you, that you are no longer enemies of God? Have you experienced that sanctification, that redemption in your heart? Have you been given heavenly treasures? And are you looking forward to that which is our eternal destination, which is life lived with God? So the final day of Kids Camp, we saved something that was very special. We did redemption and proclamation on day three, or redemption and consummation on day three, so that on day four we could do gospel proclamation. Our memory verse for that day was 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." God has made us his people. Jesus has made us God's own special treasure. He has given us the heavenly treasures. God has shined his wonderful light into the darkness, right? Into the darkness that's in our hearts, replacing it with faith and love and joy. And he's also called us apart for a very special purpose. That's one of the meanings of being holy, is to be set apart for a special purpose. And now every Christian has a calling placed on us, a calling to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We've come full circle back to being treasure seekers, right? Christians are not the only ones seeking treasure. That is a universal feature of every human heart. Every human person is a treasure seeker. And for those of us who now have faith, who are hopefully experiencing the joy that comes from being God's special treasured possession, we have a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful calling to go out and share God with other treasure seekers. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 5. He says that his people, he says that you and I, were to be salt and light. Do you remember that? Salt is something that is, it's good for our bodies in the right amount, right? Salt also makes food very tasty. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's a metaphor for sharing our joy with other people. Christians get the very great privilege of taking that joy and sharing it with others. Salt is also a preservative, right? It stops food from spoiling. It saves food. That reminds us that we are, in our fallen state, enemies of God. And the good news about Jesus is redemption and salvation. And that's a good news that we now get to go out and share with others who need to hear that message. Jesus also calls his people to be light. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Christians, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Brothers and sisters, you are a chosen people. Jesus has made you God's special treasure, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We get the very great privilege of doing that. Does anyone have this little light of mine going in the back of your mind right now? So I'm going to close our time this morning by just asking, are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are you taking the light that God has shown into your own heart, and are you reflecting it back out into the dark world around you? Because it can be all too easy to get caught up in the darkness of the world, even for Christians. Are we declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light? Are we sharing the good news about Jesus with others? Are we helping other fellow treasure seekers to find God, their number one treasure that they need in their hearts? Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating this world and for creating us. We thank you for all of the good earthly treasures that you give to us each and every day. Help us, we pray, to be thankful for those, but also help us to not love them too much. Work in our hearts to keep our hearts focused on you and on the heavenly treasures that we can only get from you. Please help us to keep our hearts focused on Jesus, our Savior. Our God, we thank you and we praise you for calling us out of darkness into your wonderful light, and we pray that you would help us to show others the love that we have for you and the love that you have for us. We pray that you would help us lead other treasure seekers to you, the number one treasure that we all need in this life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.